We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me, as always, over there, beautiful New York City, my man, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how you doing?
Ty, if love is just a game, I must have missed the kickoff.
Are you doing Blink 182?
It took you long enough, Ty. Were you waiting for more?
I was waiting for more because I like that song.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. That was a layup of a lyric, but it had a little football reference in there, so I decided to go for it because I guess it's if young love is just a game. So young season love,
right?
Actually, might be a good theme. Because I think both of us fall too hard early on in the season sometimes.
Oh, totally.
We don't protect our hearts.
No.
And we're going to lean into that today.
Well, the reason you bring that up is because when I was talking to you earlier today in one of our renowned G-Chat sessions, which we talk frequently about here on the program. Hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Going away to college conveniently came up on my new AirPods.
Ooh.
And you are both a proponent of the AirPods and any and all things Blink 182, particularly the Enema of the State album.
And if, by the way, any AirPod competitor wants to advertise on this show,
hit us up, solidverbal@gmail.com. We are all ears, quite literally, no pun intended.
Yeah, I was going through these week one matchups, which I'm positive we'll get to momentarily, I was going back and forth between, okay, am I falling too hard, or should I keep in the back of my mind, you know what, most first dates are awkward and clumsy, and it's all about finding yourself in a situation that's, you know, going to grow into something rather than immediately amazing. And so, like, you know, Nebraska didn't have a great offensive game against South Alabama, but you know what? There's a lot of awkward first dates.
Sure.
Yours was awkward, right?
Absolutely.
With your wife?
Absolutely.
Yeah, mine wasn't great. It was okay. But I don't think that defines who Nebraska is. I don't think that defines what your relationship is.
What you're looking for. And we talk about this all the time on the show. You're looking for improvement between date one and date two.
Correct.
And we see the same, lo and behold, in college football all the time. You see the most improvement between weeks one and two.
Correct.
It's funny how that works. So what we're, I think, trying to suss out here on the program tonight is which are the games that are that young love. I'm really making this up as I go along.
No, please. No,
I don't know if that's apparent or not. But where are the games that we just want to miss the kickoff? We don't really care if we see those or not. That's where the window of opportunity comes into play. By the way, got a tweet about that.
Yeah.
Which is amping up the pressure.
Oh my God.
On me to come through here.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to it momentarily. I just like that we're dropping some hot 1999 references.
That is what we do on the program. Hello, how are you? I'm Ty. That guy over there is Dan. We are the Solid Verbal. You can check out our website at solidverbal.com. You can also subscribe to the show if you're into college football, into our podcast. You can do so on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, any place you can find your favorite podcasts. You can also find the Solid Verbal if you like the show. Maybe even throw us a review. Lord knows we appreciate that more than we could ever express here on the show. We also have various social media feeds, as you might have guessed, at Solid Verbal on Twitter, Facebook.com/SolidVerbal, and Instagram.com/SolidVerbal as well. What am I forgetting? Reddit. We've got a subreddit, reddit.com/r/SolidVerbal. I was just talking to our boy Peter, who runs the subreddit today, about some fun and exciting things coming up with the podcast. So we're excited to have everyone aboard here as we now enter into week two with week one in the books. Hope you had a chance to get caught up on our previous shows, but we are full speed ahead now into week numero dos.
This is true. Glad Peter has the subreddit to distract him from his Ole Miss fandom. You need something.
This is true. This is very true.
You need something. You need a distraction. This is week two. Before we go into previews, can I ask you a simple question?
Please.
You are one of the internet's most notorious under 40 Notre Dame fans. Yes?
Is that true?
I think so. I think it's you and Jess Matana. I don't know anybody else. I guess Mike Golic Jr., but he played there.
There are others, I'm assuming, but...
under 40? Mama H isn't under 40.
Mama H
looks
is
great
not.
For
she
her
looks
age,
under
she's
40.
She's not under
she's
40.
Not. No. Okay. I want to hear where you're going with this.
What'd you think of the Louisville game? That was the only game from week one we haven't discussed yet because we did our Monday show on Monday, and that game was Monday night.
I thought it went exactly the way I predicted on our previous show.
Oh, look at you, patting yourself on the back.
I'm not patting myself on the back. This is nothing to pat myself on the back about.
No, that's okay.
It went exactly to the script. I had people tweeting me, hey, you called this one, didn't you? Yeah, I did. It was exactly the kind of game I expected. I got panicked text messages from Mama H, from Uncle Joe. At one point, I might have texted myself, not even sure, but... Yeah, a little too close for comfort. I need to read more from friend of the show, Pete Sampson, to get a full, in-depth understanding of what transpired there. But needless to say, was not impressed with Ian Book.
Okay.
Was impressed with the defense after the first two drives. After the first two drives, they made some adjustments and they shut it down. But offensively... They need to do some work. I saw Jafar Armstrong's now going to be out with a groin injury for maybe up to 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got some work to do on offense. But by and large, a win's a win. I'll take the win.
And what did you think of Louisville?
Louisville came out guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
And if you're a Louisville fan, you have to be very excited about what you saw. They played really hard in that game. Puma Pass looked better. Needs to be more careful with the football for sure. But... otherwise, I thought a really promising start against a top 10 team.
I was told that a nugget that people might be interested in now after the fact, because Louisville ran the ball pretty well early on, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Louisville's running backs coach and Notre Dame's defensive coordinator were in the same backfield at Vanderbilt playing together. So some backstory there.
House divided.
Nuggies you can only get on the Solid Verbal.
Yeah, a win's a win. I'll take the win. It's week one. Again, back to our theme at the top of the show. Sometimes a little awkward on that first date.
It can be. It definitely can be, and it's about finding things to grow on. And I think Notre Dame has that, even though now they're, a little beat up in the backfield, and Ian Book look a little shaky, but it's, an active defense on the road. You know, they have a bye this week because there's a Monday night game, and then they have, New Mexico before Georgia?
That's right.
So time to fix the kinks.
They got time. All right. So Daniel, week two, we've both presumably had a chance to look over these games and form some opinions.
Yes.
What is your overall take on how week two shapes up? What's the landscape look like to you?
I think there are a lot of George Harrisons out there and not a lot of Pauls and Ringos.
Yeah. Okay.
The Beatles are probably the best known band that had two frontmen, front singers, whatever. And we have two great ones in LSU, Texas and Clemson, Texas A&M that are split. We have a 3:30 kick for Clemson and we have a 7:30 kick for Texas LSU.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say the games around it are all really good, but I'm saying they're underrated. And there's a, I mean, this is your word, pluckiness to them that you're getting some interesting elements to those games. So I'm seeing a lot of Harrisons out there. There are definitely Ringos. That's not necessarily a compliment, but a lot of George Harrisons, you know, backing up are Pauls and Ringos.
I was underwhelmed a bit when I went back through the slate. It didn't seem to have as much bite to me as it did when I looked at it a couple months ago. Of course, now within context, it feels a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, we do have important matters to tend to here. The window of opportunity is something we do on the show. For those new listeners out there, what's the window of opportunity? The window of opportunity is you're a normal person. You got to go out and do normal people stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When can you do it on a college football Saturday while still watching enough of the action to get the flavor of what goes down? Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, you have errands. You want to go play with your kids. You have to pick something up. You have to do whatever it is that life asks you to do. And you're trying to schedule it around some college football that you want to see, your team, or just a national game that you're interested in. And we try to give you a heads up on when that window should be.
So with that as a backdrop, we had a tweet come in that really spiced it up, Dan.
Spicy!
This one from Jason. He says, "We are in the due date red zone and huddling up with our doctor on Friday."
Yeah.
I'm not saying Saturday's window of opportunity will be the only factor considered should she call for the inducement, but I'm asking you to really nail this one. No pressure, dot, dot, dot.
Okay.
Listen. We have had our hand in many a things over the last 12 seasons.
Yeah.
We have brought Verballers together, some of whom are now married.
Mm-hmm.
We've been told that we've been part of at least a couple conceptions.
Yeah. We've split up couples, probably.
We've probably split up couples.
Yeah.
We've had our hands in a bunch of different proverbial cookie jars.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
where are you going with this?
I'm just saying, I don't know if we've ever actually had a hand in when a live birth occurs. So I do feel a little added pressure to get this one right, Jason.
Okay. So first of all, It might not matter at all. Jody with an I was scheduled to be induced and Solid Baby just showed up. Actually, right on time when the scheduling was pointing towards this is when it's going to happen. So you might not have any control. Second of all, you can't really control how much time it's going to take even still because you're inducing labor. But labor can go for a long, long time. Who knows? So what I would say is just set your DVR. Set that damn DVR. Add a couple hours to every game that you want to watch eventually because you're going to have some late nights coming up and you're going to have some time on your hands to half watch TV while, you know, holding your newborn baby, feeding your newborn baby. You're not supposed to show screen time to the kid when they're really alert, but early on it's fine. Who cares? Just point them away. So I just say DVR everything, and if your team is playing and things happen to be calm in the labor and delivery area, watch it on your phone, iPad, whatever. But otherwise, hey, you're not in control at all.
Don't they usually induce at a weird hour, either really early in the morning or late at night?
Right. So, yeah, usually I think it's like a midnight for a lot of doctors because delivery won't happen till like 7, 8 a.m. when the doctors would much rather show up to deliver the baby.
And here's where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Jason, push for that early inducement. Try to get something
induction
early in the morning. I don't know what the proper nomenclature is. I've never done this. I have a dog.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going with this. The two biggest games of the day are 3:30 and 7:30 Eastern.
Yeah.
For me, the formula is usually to try and catch the second half or the fourth quarter of one of the games and all of another.
Right.
The game that I want to see and the game that everyone out there should see, even if you're not involved in a live birth this weekend.
Rutgers, Iowa. What?
Not Rutgers, Iowa.
Oh,
LSU, Texas.
Whoa.
LSU, Texas. That's the game I want to watch from wire to wire because both teams are on the cusp of contention.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, if you got to go out and do normal people things on Saturday, or if you find yourself changing your life forever in the situation of Jason, your window of opportunity to do anything else is sometime before 6 o'clock Eastern. If you can get in front of a TV by then, you're going to catch the tail end of Clemson, Texas A&M,
right,
and all of LSU, Texas. So if you can swing that early induction, inducement, what have you, you probably give yourself a pretty good chance to catch one of those games, maybe the tail end of the first and all of the second.
So you're saying midnight, like the night before, Friday to Saturday midnight.
I'm saying go in there with the schedule and say, Doc, we got to do this bright and early Saturday morning.
Oh my gosh, Ty. This is the next chapter on Ty's terrible advice.
The doctor works for you, Dan. The doctor works for you.
Yeah, disagree. hard disagree. Yeah, you can try. If your strategy is to prolong labor enough, or to prolong delivery long enough to watch some football, then you're probably talking about a midday, mid-afternoon almost induction time.
Or maybe go Sunday. Maybe just avoid it altogether.
Well, that's a little bit tougher, but yeah.
Because that's the NFL on Sunday, and we don't care about that here.
This is true. Oh, man, this is such a good hodgepodge of terrible advice. I love it.
All right. Well, write in. Let us know what you think.
And from both of us.
From both of us. And if you want to tweet him, it's jspires22. Wish Jason the best of luck.
Any name ideas, Ty? Based solely on this weekend?
No. No.
Not a single, just based on this weekend's action. Patrick Narduzzi Spires.
Narduzzi Spires. Dabo.
Dabo or Dabba.
Dabba. Kellen. Kellen's kind of a popular name.
Yeah. You got Trevor. You got Kellen. What about Munkin?
Munkin? No.
Munkin Spires. I kind of like that.
Munkin Spires? No.
Munkin Spires.
No.
Herb Hand Spires.
Dan, Ty, help. I need picks of the week.
Enough of the name game, Dan.
Okay.
Let's get rolling here.
Okay.
Let's start with some of our big headliners. Week two. Let's start at high noon on ABC. It is Cincinnati at Ohio State. The Buckeyes are a 17-point favorite. We've talked pretty extensively about both these teams, both in our preview shows and in the buildup to our preview shows all offseason. I am a huge fan of what Luke Fickell's doing at Cincinnati.
Sure.
I think they're a year, maybe 2 years ahead of schedule.
Not enough to have them in your top tier of G5 teams.
No.
Never.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. And I'll admit, when I saw this game on the schedule a few months ago, it felt a little bit more interesting to me. I see two issues, though. The first is Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins are potentially going to have their way with a Cincy front that saw a lot of attrition from a year ago. Yeah. Justin Fields looked incredible in week one. And secondly, I think Ohio State's talent along the defensive line, even though they had some of their own issues, it should be enough to overwhelm a Cincy O-line that's almost completely rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
So because of those two reasons, I think I like Ohio State by like 21, somewhere 38 to 17.
I literally have that written down.
Do you really?
I do, word for word. I mean, not all the nonsense beforehand, but 38-17 I do.
I'm less confident that Ohio State can overwhelm that Cincy line because they did have trouble last year and they gave up 4.5 yards per carry and all that. But they did look good a week ago. I think they can continue the trend. 38-17 is what I'm going with. Maybe a little bit of a front door cover. I don't know. I think they win in cover here.
Driving the dogs listening to this show crazy.
I am. I apologize.
Yeah, to me, it's going to come down. You mentioned all the defensive stuff for Cincinnati. I think it's going to come down to Cincinnati's offense keeping pace and specifically their pass defense. They were great against the run last year. You mentioned the attrition along the line. I just think there was not enough Cincy offense at home last week. Granted, it was week one against a UCLA team that is a Power 5 team. I think a lower tier Power 5 team at the moment. You need more. you need more in the way of electricity to hang with Ohio State. We saw it last year when Anthony McFarland goes off and they Maryland takes Ohio State to overtime. TCU was able to run when they were hanging with Ohio State early on in that game before Ohio State pulled away. So I could actually see this being 14-all and finishing at 38-17,
yeah.
Where it's just there's no second act. There's no third act for the Cincinnati offense, and Ohio State's just going to be too deep and too talented. So, yeah, I have it 38-17, where it seems a little bit tricky at halftime, and Ohio State makes adjustments, and we saw that defense look very strong against FAU last week. Different animal, but I'm going with the Buckeyes here.
For the record, we don't coordinate these picks, nor do we coordinate scores. This is entirely...
No.
By happenstance, we have the
exact
same
score. You put together
score.
A Google Doc with our scheduled games, and then I copy-pasted into text edit on my Mac. So
that's what I
access.
Do, too. I don't want you to see my thought process. I don't want to give you any tells.
Mm-hmm.
Also at high noon on Fox, we've got Army at Michigan. Michigan is about a 23-point favorite, depends where you look, but somewhere mm-hmm. in that vicinity. And we were both pretty high on Army going into the season. This was another one of those games that we talked up the entire offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week, Army beat Rice 14-7, Dan.
They did. This is correct.
It took them until their last drive to score the go-ahead touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest with you, because we're friends. Not a great sign if you were thinking this might be a close game. Has that Army win in week one at all changed your perspective on this game?
A little bit, yeah. Mostly, it's hard to say, like, oh, well, they weren't showing anything. Like, well, they show what they show. They're running the option, and that's what it is for Army, even though there are wrinkles, obviously, that you can put forth and figure out interesting pass plays when you actually do run them. But here is the problem about the spread. 23 points is a lot of points when there is a possession-heavy offense in Army.
Yeah.
Like, Michigan could win this game extremely comfortably by 17,
yep.
Just because they're only going to have the ball six times the entire game. So that to me is worrisome about, what is it, 23 points?
Yep.
We've had the wonderful Don Brown's having this defense practice against the triple all spring long. They've been deep diving the option all year long waiting for this game. That's always good. Michigan has some injuries. There was a report that Shea Patterson was actually hurt on that first play fumble. I don't know if there were specifics, but lower body, he wasn't able to like push off allegedly in the way he'd want to throwing the ball. Donovan Jeter didn't play along the defensive line. Donovan Peoples-Jones didn't play. So there's some worrisome elements to this. I think Army's reputation as being a real tough out for this week is built on grinding down Oklahoma's objectively terrible defense last year, right?
Correct.
They killed a Houston team that fully had the towel thrown in the bowl game. Otherwise, they largely beat the OK teams on their schedule by single digits. They weren't running away. They had a great record, but other than I think Buffalo, they weren't destroying teams. So I think it's a bit of an inflated situation with Army. I have Michigan actually covering this game because it becomes real tough if the triple's not working. Then you go down 17-3. What do you look like? I don't know. So I have 35-7 Michigan.
Okay. I think you brought up a lot of the right points. I think we disagree on the point spread.
And, lost by 20 to Duke last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's concerning, and you're not wrong at all to point out the reputation.
It's also become too sexy a pick.
I know.
That worries me, too.
I know. That worries me all the time. I look back to what Michigan did in week one. And the offense has some growing pains right now. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Shea Patterson. Maybe he was hurt. This is a higher tempo, more wide open system under Josh Gattis. And it can take a bit for this stuff to click. Michigan's going to beat Army. I'm not worried about Michigan losing to Army. I'm not worried about another App State situation. Mm-hmm. But
App State, an FCS team.
An FCS team.
Army won double digits as an FBS team last year.
Correct. I am worried a little bit, though, about that clock control. When you play teams like Army or Navy, they control the clock so well. And if you are an offense, if you're having trouble getting into rhythm, that's an issue. It limits, like you said, how many drives you get. And Michigan lost some big pieces on defense from a year ago. Don't forget about that, especially in the front seven. It stands to reason that Army could get some momentum going with its triple option. I think Michigan wins. I think it's sort of close. Kind of to your point, like, I don't know, 28-17, where it feels like Michigan ends up winning pretty comfortably, but they just can't get that separation because they don't have enough chances.
All right. Army also down their defensive coordinator from last year. I didn't even actually love their defense that much, but you limit enough possession and the point totals are low.
You're a secret Army hater is what you are.
No, I like Army. I mean, I loved watching that bowl game against Houston. They just beat the Cougars down. You know, it's cool that they've flipped the script on Navy after losing so much to the midshipmen. I think it's a great story. I just think there's just too much Michigan here.
What kind of American roots against the Army? Dan Rubenstein. There he is.
I'm developing a bit of a crush on Zach Charbonnet as well.
Oh,
Michigan's new running
back.
Like
a fine wine.
A little bit.
Gets better
with
age.
He's from not far from where I'm from. So a little hometown thing for me.
3:30 on ABC. Texas A&M travels to Clemson. Clemson about a 17.5 point favorite. Again, this one's bubbling and bobbling a little bit, changing here and there, but around 17.5. I accidentally left Texas A&M off our week one recap.
They play Texas State?
Yes, won 41-7, something like that.
It's fine.
I'd like to apologize to all the nice Aggie fans out there, especially the ones that came to our Dallas Live show. I mean, there were a lot of them.
There were many. Yeah.
A lot of team polos out there. I mean no disrespect.
Oh my God, Ty.
This is falling over yourself. This is obviously an enormous football game.
Yeah.
With an enormous point spread. If you look at ESPN's FPI rankings, the spread is right on the money. I found some other ones, some other ranking systems that I won't name because I don't know if I can. But you find some disparities. You do. I think I can envision a scenario where Clemson blows the doors off A&M. And I think that scenario includes Travis Etienne running wild on an Aggie run defense that's being rebuilt. I think that's the formula for winning and covering here. But
just turning your back on Mike Elko. Wow.
But hold on. There's more. And I know this could come back to haunt me.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is another one that's way closer than meets the eye. I'm a sucker for coaching matchups. Jimbo has coached against Clemson each of the last 8 seasons over the span of his time at Florida State and now at Texas A&M. He's an even 4-4. Even the games that he didn't win were close. So I look at this matchup from a coaching standpoint. I feel like Jimbo knows how to coach against Dabo. He might not get the win, but last year it was within 2, and Clemson was a way better team than A&M. I think it's within 10. I do. I think Clemson wins at home 31-21, but A&M finds a way to cover.
So I look at this game in the same way that I talked about Cincinnati and Ohio State, and I think A&M's talent level is much higher than Cincinnati, but I don't know where the electricity is coming from Texas A&M on either side of the ball. Because I think Clemson should be able to throw like most teams were able to do last year on Texas A&M. I don't love the pass rush right now for A&M. Trevor Lawrence didn't start that game, played. That was a Kelly Bryant game. Started and finished it, right? For Clemson last year against Texas A&M at Kyle Field, which I think is, if I ask about electricity, that's a tough place to win. Texas A&M on the road hasn't been pretty. It hasn't been great. First year, Jimbo, I get it. It's everything's new. Clemson's a tough place to play. I don't know who's slowing down this passing game. I don't know who's slowing down Clemson on the ground. There's no Travion Williams in the backfield for Texas A&M this year. I'm just seeing almost a crock potting here. I see it close, maybe trading touchdowns in the first quarter, but I have it 42-17 Clemson.
Whoa.
Too much Tiger.
Too much Tiger, huh?
Yeah, I think we're overthinking it a little bit.
We never overthink anything on this show. You know that.
Yeah. Just A&M on the road was not my favorite thing last year.
We disagree.
All right. I mean, Nick Fitzgerald played well against Texas A&M last year on the road.
You're not a Nick Fitzgerald fan, are you?
Not huge.
No.
Not huge.
Okay. We disagree.
Next.
7 p.m. on ESPN. BYU at Tennessee. Tennessee, 3.5 home favorite. You might remember both of our heroes from week one. Very mistake prone, both lost. The difference is that BYU was a dog against Utah, and Tennessee was favored by 25 over Georgia State. Now, this is suddenly kind of a must-win game for Tennessee.
Sure.
Based on what we saw last week, you know, like, if this game doesn't go well for Tennessee, you could look at the schedule. It doesn't take too much imagination to find a way for them to lose five out of their next six after BYU. Florida, Georgia, yeah. Mississippi State, Bama, South Carolina. Like, it's possible here, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And they could lose to BYU here. They really could lose to BYU. How do you feel about this one?
Definitely a couple bad first dates.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Tennessee and BYU definitely brought up multiple X's on their first dates of the season. And I guess Tennessee now employs one of them as their AD, but that's different. I think Tennessee might be a little undervalued. I don't love Tennessee, but they couldn't stop the run. Their line play was bad. I think there's room for improvement that in seeing BYU in a rivalry game at home not be able to move the ball with any sort of consistency. The final score should have been uglier. I think Utah played out the clock with like a 9-minute drive and, you know, downed it at like the six. I think Tennessee is in a better place at a tough place to win. I don't think the fans, and I'm open to being completely wrong, I don't think Vol fans right now have completely and totally given up. I think the closer we get to Saturday, more and more Tennessee fans will talk themselves into just a horrible hiccup week one, date number two, things get turned around, and it might be a weird year, but it's Saturday. We get to go to Neyland Stadium. We get to grill, to pull up in a boat that hopefully doesn't burn down.
No.
Life is all right. And so I think Tennessee turns it around. I think they cover the spread here. I have it 24-10 Tennessee.
Yeah. I just want to go back to BYU for a second. And, okay. And I stand by it. They could lose to BYU. Tennessee could lose to BYU because BYU's got a ton of depth, I think, defensively. They got a fair amount
of experience. Yeah.
They need a few guys to step up and be difference makers on that defense. But this is a pretty good BYU team that plays a brutal schedule.
Did they not score a touchdown until near the end of the game, though? Fourth quarter?
Something like that.
Not crazy about this offense.
No, I'm not crazy about it. But this is still a pretty good team. Plays a tough schedule. I'm just not ready to abandon Tennessee yet either. We talked about that on Tuesday's show.
Yeah.
I trust that Jeremy Pruitt is going to rally the troops here and convey to his team the importance of this game. They played hard last year. They really did.
I think every Tennessee fan listening to this is like, these dumb asses having faith in our team.
I have faith in Tennessee here. I do.
I'm ready.
I don't think they're anywhere near as bad as they looked last week.
I think they can be again what they were last week.
Close game, 24-20. Tennessee wins at home and covers.
Okay. We sort of agree.
7:30, ABC. This is the big in here.
Yes.
LSU at Texas. LSU, 5-point road favorite, Dan. So we got some news this week on the Texas front. Their freshman running back, Jordan Whittington, is out 4 to 6 weeks with a groin injury. It is significant because Herman's been out there, Tom Herman, out there on the stump, talking up how he wants to be a power running team. And, well, currently the only healthy scholarship running back on the roster is Keontae Ingram.
Their best running back, yes.
Their best running back.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing of note here is that Texas lost 8 starters from last year's defense. And this is actually my main question coming into the season. I love Todd Orlando, but 8
down
starters.
Down year last year.
Down year last down, year.
That was a down Texas defense, though.
It was a down Texas defense, but they lost a lot. They're rebuilding. And it's just a tall order week two against a pretty good team like LSU, especially against a new-look LSU or whatever we're calling it these days.
Yeah.
This is a tough spot here for Texas at home. Who you got?
Well, we have what? Tom Herman in a big game as an underdog?
We do.
Record's pretty good in that situation.
It is.
I looked this up because I am the dedicated weather person of this show. It could be about 100 degrees kickoff.
Mm.
It could be very toasty.
Very stanky, yeah.
LSU not terrific away from Baton Rouge last year. Something to just back your head at. But I also, similarly, I don't love the idea of Sam Ehlinger being asked to do it all against this big, fast, healthier defense than they were last year. And, you know, Beck-Meyer syndrome, still at play. No active Meyer, still an active Beck. And I know Ehlinger carried it like 20 times against Georgia and that worked out. Different story when everybody's, you know, week two, everybody's a little bit healthier, a little bit hungrier. I'm worried. My big worry about LSU, though, is not that that's on the road. It's that they don't necessarily know yet how to counterpunch with the new offense.
Okay.
Where it's 13-10 Texas, and Todd Orlando seems to have figured out a couple things, a couple wrinkles about how to play against this new LSU offense. And all of a sudden, LSU's scrambling a little bit, like, what if we did something that kind of worked last year? That, to me, could be a problem. So the fact that Texas knows their offense and their personnel a little bit better running it against real teams, I'm going to say Texas 23-20 at home.
Outright. Whoa.
I'm going with the home dog. They are my Yakos. Home dog of the week.
The Yakos. Home dog of the week.
So we're not going lock. We're just going home dog.
Home dog. Yes.
I like it. Yeah.
Where do you stand?
I'm not going to bet against Sam Ehlinger. I can't do it. I think the value of a really good quarterback can't be overemphasized. Case in point, I was down in Philly doing radio 2 weeks ago, I guess now, with our friend Cade Massey, friend of the show, one half of the Massey Peabody rankings.
Sure. Are you a Massey guy or are you a Peabody guy?
I'm more of a Massey guy.
Interesting. Okay. I don't know him personally. Where I stand yet.
I've met both Massey and Peabody, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Drama. Yeah.
But one of the things that Cade talks about, especially in his ranking system, and I don't have the secret sauce here, but he says that he places a lot of emphasis on quarterback play. He looks at it in terms of offense and defense and specifically quarterbacks. If we're looking specifically at quarterbacks in a game like this, the nod goes to Sam Ehlinger. He's one of the five best quarterbacks in college football.
Whoa, five best?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So I don't know if Texas wins this game, but it will be hot. It will be at home. Beck-Meyer syndrome notwithstanding.
Can't lift arm or speak at normal rate.
But I think they find a way to keep it close, a low-scoring game. I'm going to say LSU wins outright 23-21, but let's go Texas plus the 5 points.
Interesting. Joe Burrow, by the way, a little bit better road neutral site last year for LSU.
Okay.
If that's, you know, if quarterback play is important to you, he showed out a little bit more on the road than he did at home. But, I mean, you know, there's a lot of context missing, but from just saying that his numbers are better.
10:30 ESPN. It's a game neither Dan nor I will likely be awake for.
Shh, don't tell them.
Can I say that? I guess I can't say that.
No, it's fine. We'll watch it early Sunday.
Stanford at USC. USC, a 3-point favorite. And then I saw a 1-point favorite. I don't know. It's a close game here.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the point spread, the two important things that we mentioned on Tuesday were, one, JT Daniels, the USC quarterback, done for the year due to a torn ACL. And as an addendum to that, Stanford also with its own quarterback questions, seeing as how KJ Costello took a cheap shot to the head. I think he's questionable for this game. So we'll have to wait and see on that front. And secondly, Dan, USC's donezo.
Donezo.
Wow.
They're donezo.
You're sticking with that.
Donezo, man.
Okay. Okay.
I think the real bet is under 45, if I can get that on the record. But
so, okay.
If I'm forced to pick a team here, I'm taking Stanford. Give me Stanford.
Why? Because of the possibility of KJ Costello, or just you are down on a true freshman appearing to be starting for USC?
I'm down on the true freshman scenario. I felt pretty good about JT Daniels going into this season. Now that it's a true freshman, I'm out.
Okay. I'm taking USC here. I think they cover this game.
Why?
I don't think KJ Costello, even if he plays, is going to be all that good. I do like USC up front on defense, and I think they are going to continue to harass him. Stanford's best lineman, Walker Little, I think is out month and a half injured.
Yeah.
And he is, you know, potentially a top 10, 12 NFL draft pick. I don't know what Stanford's counterpunch is without KJ Costello. I don't think they're as dynamic offensively. I'm not a huge believer. Actually, I like their defense fine, but I'm not a huge believer in Stanford's defense as being good enough to lead them to a win on the road against a talented team like USC. I don't love USC, but I don't love either of these teams as they're constructed right now. So I'm going to go with the team that has... This is this week's word for me because it also applies to romance, electricity. Mm-hmm. And I think USC's receivers have something that Stanford can't match. So I have it 24-20 USC at home covering.
I think the bet's under, to be honest. I don't even want to pick a
winner. I think it'll be driven down. But so that's 44 points. What did you say was the
45 is the over-under.
Okay. So that's we're technically agreeing on the under.
All right. Some other games here, Dan. Mm. High noon ESPN. Syracuse at Maryland. Maryland is a 2-point favorite, which I gotta be honest, surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Mike Locksley.
Steer into it.
Mike Locksley really knows the DMV. Apparently, Vegas really likes that Mike Locksley knows the DMV. Maryland is a 2-point favorite here. I think Cuse is the better team. I like the elements of their defense more so than anything else in the field. They are getting points here as a legit top 25 team. I am not buying that Maryland hype. I am locking up the Cuse plus 2.
Lock of the week.
Hard to fully criticize the team after they shut a team out as Syracuse did over Liberty, I think 24-0. I didn't love the line play on offense from Syracuse from what I saw. Didn't love DeVito. There's a lot that Maryland needs improving upon, but Maryland in September, they got that juice, Ty. September Maryland?
Is that a thing?
Well, I mean, what month did they beat Texas?
It would be September.
Unless they played late August. I don't have the calendar in front of me, but I think it's a decent enough matchup that I'm going to give Josh Jackson the quarterback nod between the two. If we're going to put weight into Cade Mass and what he's putting weight into.
Sure.
I'm going to give the quarterback advantage to Maryland right now. I like the backfield for Maryland. Even Anthony McFarland didn't carry it a ton. They spread the ball out a good amount. And a lot of people picking Howard last week against Maryland. And just proving the doubters wrong. Now, Maryland's at home. I give them the quarterback nod. The line seems a little bit strange to me, so I'm just staring into it. That's my new rule.
Who drafted the Mike Locksley thing? Did I draft that?
I think so. Yeah.
I love the fact that all year, having Mike Locksley as Maryland's coach.
Oh, that's a winner, yeah.
Is the equivalent of hiring a native to guide you for three sets of clothes on the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, the college football Sherpa.
I love it. But I'm going Cuse here. Lock up the Cuse for me.
Disagree.
Also at high noon, ESPN2. West Virginia at Missouri. The Tigers a 14-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
They were favored by 17 on the road last week in Laramie, Wyoming, and lost. Now they're at home against a West Virginia team that's rebuilding under Neil Brown, your boy Neil Brown.
My guy.
I would expect this to fall into that category of week one to week two improvement for both Mizzou and West Virginia. I think Mizzou wins. I'm taking 14 points, though. That game last week against Wyoming really shook me up. So I'm not ready to have Mizzou covering against a team under Neil Brown that I know is going to play real hard.
So you got to like West Virginia's defense, I assume, in this game?
Yes.
In terms of forcing turnovers and, you know, showing ghosts to Kelly Bryant, I think I agree with that. I have Mizzou winning, but that's too many points. I have West Virginia confusing Kelly Bryant a couple times, picking him off, giving themselves a short field, even if they only turn it into a field goal. I have this as 23-16 Mizzou at home, turnover filled, and West Virginia has a lot of work to do on offense.
We agree! 3:30 on Fox, Nebraska at Colorado, rekindling one of those old Big 12 matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska, 4-point road favorite.
Not a rival, according to Scott Frost.
Not a rival.
Ex-rival. Yeah.
Not a rival. Where do you stand on this one?
So Nebraska should be improved offensively from last week. I think they scored 14 offensive points. They had 3 defensive touchdowns.
Yep.
Or 14. They had 2 offensive touchdowns and 3 defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, 2 defensive touchdowns and I think a special teamer. Yeah.
Yeah. So defense, special teams. It feels a little shootouty with what appears to be two pretty good passing offenses.
I agree.
Defensive questions. Colorado State was able to move the ball more in the first half than the second against this Colorado team in Denver. Nebraska, I think they'll have the firepower back to a respectable point after a sluggish week one. I'm going to take the home dog points in a shootout. That's me. The best player in this game plays receiver for Colorado. I think once again, it's a fun back and forth. I have the dog winning outright. 38-31 Buffs in Boulder, winning 2 in a row against the Huskers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like a shootout. I was looking at Colorado on offense. Stevie Montez and LaVisca Chenault have a decided Junior Floyd / Becky O'Shea thing going on.
My God. Okay.
Circa Little Giants.
Yeah.
They are the offense.
Did Icebox play offense, though?
No, there was that whole thing where she was tackled by Buzz, and he said, no mercy, and then she looks at him and says,
oh, was it
no
like
ball.
Jumping the pile kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stevie Montez, LaVisca Chenault. Nebraska's got some of their own exciting players on offense as well, not the least of which is Adrian Martinez. We all know his name. But I think this is a test for their defense. I'm with you. I'm going to go Colorado with the points. Don't know if they went outright. But I like them at home.
Okay. Do you think Mel Tucker is bringing an SEC mentality to Colorado?
I think there's a chance, yeah.
There's a chance he's bringing that SEC mentality to Colorado.
There is a chance. Okay.
All right. This should be fun. I'm excited for this.
8 p.m. ACC Network.
Okay. So I will not be watching this one.
Miami at North Carolina.
Yep.
Miami, 4.5-point road favorite. At one point, the line was up around 6, but came all the way crawling back down to 4.5, which means someone's been hammering North Carolina here. I don't know if it was the Mac Brown post-game dancing thing. I'm guessing you saw that, right?
I did.
I don't know if it was that.
Robotic and funky all at the same time. Good for Mac.
Maybe it was seeing that Sam Howell does have a little bit of Baker Mayfield in him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, people feeling the vapors for UNC right now. I don't think I want to disagree. I'm feeling a little bit of it myself. I'm taking the points here, Dan. I think North Carolina impressed the hell out of a lot of people last week by knocking off South Carolina. I know I came away impressed. They look better than I thought. Miami wins, but close, 23-20.
I think Miami's another team, like Tennessee and BYU, that really did themselves no favors on that first date. Talking about X's, talking about ointments they often have to use.
Ointments.
Really going to a place.
Have you ever done that on a date? Talking about ointments?
Oh, maybe. I don't really use a lot of ointments, but
no.
I've definitely had bad first dates that I don't think I'm fully not responsible for.
Yeah,
I think I've contributed to bad first dates.
Yeah.
But Miami's coming off a bye week. And yes, again, playing away from home. I think with that time, they're not going to get better along the offensive line, but I think they can figure things out a little bit, how to get the ball to some talented players in space. I think defensively, they're going to be in a good position, a better position than South Carolina was against Sam Howell. They now have tape on the North Carolina offense under Phil Longo. So I think we're underrating Miami a little bit based on a decidedly awful second half offensively against Florida. But I think they get it together for date number 2. They find some common ground, some common friends, tell some funny stories, really let down their hair a little bit. So give me Miami here to cover. I have the final score as 27-20 Miami, covering by a field goal-ish.
All right. And finally, before we go rapid fire, 10:30 FS1, Cal at Washington, Washington. About a 13.5-14-point favorite. I am all in on Washington here. I really like the way that Jake Eason looked in his first start for the Huskies. I have zero confidence that the Cal offense can keep this within 2 touchdowns. So late at night, home game for Washington. Like where they stand here. Give me the Huskies minus whatever.
Who won this game last year?
I believe that'd be Cal, right?
That'd be Cal.
It would be Cal.
That would be Cal. It was a four-year starting quarterback in Jake Browning, who, yes, had ups and downs for sure, was benched in this game for Jake Haener. I believe Cal won this game without an offensive touchdown. I think it was a pick six that sealed it.
Yep.
I think Cal can ugly it up again. They have the best secondary in the Pac-12. Jacob Eason, yes, tore apart Eastern Washington. I think he's going to be pretty good for Washington. But this is a different level. I think Cal can ugly this one up again. I don't think they have the offense on the road to beat Washington. But I have a semi-ugly Husky win 17-13.
Whoa.
I think Justin Wilcox knows how to keep games close. This is a really strong defense.
All right.
They held them to, again, I think 10 points last year.
Okay.
All right.
We disagree. Four rapid fire games real quick.
Okay.
11 a.m. on ACC Network. Ohio going to Pitt. Pitt is a 6-point favorite. Dan, who you got?
I'm taking Ohio here. I thought they showed out really well. It was Rhode Island last week, so who really cares about that? But I thought, you know, quarterback advantage, I'm giving it to Ohio with Nathan Rourke. And I want to just get ahead of everybody with this. I mean, you, basically. Demontre Tuggle, running back for Ohio. Not Jesse Tuggle's son.
No?
Damn. Not Jesse Tuggle's son.
Damn it.
Son.
What about Booger McFarland's son?
I don't believe so,
no.
Ty. Unfortunately not. So, yeah, I think the Bobcats take this one out right by three.
Yeah, this is a good Ohio football team. I'm pretty down on Pitt, mainly because the line stinks.
Yeah.
And whenever you see Kenny Pickett having to throw it 41 times, that's just not the best formula for success.
And Virginia's a good team.
Virginia's a good team. Virginia's a good team.
We shouldn't throw Pitt out.
No, I'm not throwing Pitt out.
Yeah.
I'm not. But
Virginia's good.
Give me Ohio plus the six. 4:15 Pac-12 Network, San Diego State at UCLA.
Yes.
The Bruins, a 7-point home favorite. And I'm just going to put this out there. There is approximately a 0% chance I'm betting UCLA by 7 over anyone in college football right now. There's just too much in flux to feel confident about the Bruins.
You don't think bad first eight on the road against a pretty tough Cincinnati team is worth considering without a number of key contributors and starters?
Look, I mean, sometimes a bad first date is something that equates to just a bad date in general.
Right.
And that's where I'm at with UCLA right now. That's how I feel about UCLA after that first initial meeting.
So no part of you is thinking, well, you know what? That was the worst of what UCLA will look like. It's only uphill from here against a San Diego State team who scored 6, not 5, not 4, not 3, but 6 points against Weber State at home.
Dan, give me San Diego State plus 7.
Okay, I'm going to take UCLA here. The weather should be fine, but the other thing I like looking at in situations like this is school in session. We saw Stanford not in session. What did we see early on in that game? The crowd shots were harrowing.
Yeah.
They will be even worse for UCLA, who is also on the quarter system. Students don't start, I believe, until later in September. So it's going to be just a dry game. I have UCLA winning ugly 19-10. They won't be worse on offense than they were against Cincinnati. Even though San Diego State should have a nice defense this year, they're replacing a lot. I have UCLA at least getting it together and winning this game by 8 or 9 points.
7:30, SEC Network, Arkansas at Ole Miss. Ole Miss, a 7-point favorite.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Ole Miss here. I say that knowing full well that they only scored 10 on Memphis a week ago. But still, I feel better about where they're at versus where Arkansas is at. Arkansas still has a pretty big hill to climb.
A phrase I don't love is, quote, struggled to separate from Portland State.
Yep, not great.
And we can attach that to the 2019 Arkansas football, at least early season. I think Arkansas will improve somewhat this year. Ole Miss at home. Ole Miss beat them last year. I'm going to take Ole Miss to at least improve upon last week. You know, new offense, new defense, and the defense looked significantly better. So, yeah, give me Ole Miss.
And finally, 10:30, CBS Sports Network, Minnesota on the road at Fresno. Minnesota, a 3-point road favorite. Dan, Fresno is my Yakko's home dog of the week.
The Yakko's home dog of the week.
I've got him outright here. I was super underwhelmed by Minnesota in week one. Mm-hmm. And even though Fresno's got a new quarterback, that apparently didn't bother you when we did our group of five previews.
No. And he looked good. He ran all over USC.
He looked good. I like their chances here, especially as a home dog. I like Fresno outright.
I agree. And that's a weird pick from you because every day before we start recording, you say, I think we can just waltz into the San Joaquin Valley and come away with a win.
I do.
You always say that. Yeah. And now here you are going back on it. So I'm going to agree with you. I have Fresno here. I think Minnesota along each line, I have questions, even though week one, but South Dakota State, FCS power, being able to exploit them, keeping it close. I don't love it. I think Fresno State's a different animal. I think they're confident after USC. So give me the dogs outright. I didn't give you a lock, though, did I?
You did not give me a lock.
Oh, you know what? Let's just make this spicy. I'm Maryland Terps. Fear the
Turtle.
Whoa. Yeah, I'm going against you.
Dueling locks.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we got for week one. We appreciate everyone listening to the show. I got an email during the show.
Oh.
A pro tip from, I'm assuming, a verballer out in our subreddit who said, you know, you don't have to give the loquacious and wordy and verbose URL of reddit.com/r/solidverbal.
Why not?
Apparently, you can get to it just by saying solidverbal.reddit.com.
Oh, great. Solidverbal.reddit.com.
So check that out.
Oh, and you reminded me, Ty, just in terms of convenience, if you could do me a favor and drop that big, stanky, luscious, limber, liquefying drum and fife.
I almost forgot. I almost forgot, Dan. Mm.
Had the sound at the ready, though. Okay, Marist, Georgetown.
Yeah.
Hornet's Nest, that is multi-sport field, which will always be multi-sport field to us. I think it's going to be especially dangerous after the Hoyas lost Davidson, so give me Georgetown big here.
We always take Georgetown at multi-sport field, right?
Hornet's Nest.
I think that's the rule of thumb.
Lafayette, Monmouth. Lafayette hung with Bill and Mary last week, Ty.
You know what? I'm going to go Yetis here.
Let's go.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Yetis.
Holy Cross hosting New Hampshire. I'm down on the Crusaders after they were vaporized by Navy, so give me New Hampshire.
Going to go New Hampshire as well, even though they're away from home, where they're very tough. New Hampshire's a pretty good program, so give me New
Hampshire.
Granite
State.
Yeah.
Fordham, away from Arthur Avenue and the Bronx, traveling to Ball State, who hung with Indiana.
Yeah, who you got here?
Oh, I'm taking Fordham.
Yeah?
Too many distractions in the Bronx. Give me the Rams to get it together on the road. Who do you have?
Well, originally I was going to go with Fordham, thinking that Brian Van Gorder was the defensive coordinator at Ball State, but apparently that's Bowling Green.
Correct. Who, I think, won like 42-3. They played well defensively last week.
I'm going to go Ball State.
I also believe the alma mater of a one David Letterman.
Give me Ball State. I'll go Ball State.
All right, Lehigh, Villanova.
Well, Lehigh had that awesome clip that you've no doubt seen on the internet where they mauled the opponent's punter.
Mm-hmm.
Should have won the game over St. Francis.
How are you not beating the Frannies?
I don't know. Give me Nova.
I'm taking Nova as well. Lehigh, great place to get married. Not a great place to win football games. No. Bucknell, Sacred Heart.
You know what? I picked the Yetis. I'm going to go against better judgment here, and I'm going to go with the Nellies here over Sacred Heart.
I'm taking the Nell train. Give me the Bison here. Big over Sacred Heart. How about that?
Now we are officially done with week one.
Correct.
Solidverbal.reddit.com to keep the conversation going.
Great.
You can also check us out on Twitter at SolidVerbal, Facebook.com/SolidVerbal, Instagram.com/SolidVerbal, or go to our website at solidverbal.com if you want to check out our old shows. You can also find links there to subscribe to the show, or if you're out on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeart, all the usual hotspots, subscribe to the show, please.
Two things. One, when can people precisely find our shows? What is our schedule during the season?
Our schedule during the season is Thursday at 6 a.m. to get yourself ready and rearing to go for the week ahead.
Yep, preview.
Sunday, Our recap show dropped about 1 or 2-ish Eastern time.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
We've added a third show to the arsenal this year.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. where you and I reconvene and talk about some of the bigger picture topics that are driving the college football narrative.
Play some games, talk big picture topics, sort of kick our feet up a little bit and talk about the sport and where things are shaking out. We asked for names for the Tuesday show, and I feel we have to do this sooner rather than later.
Oh, right.
I'm going to say the runner-up name, and I think you're behind me on this one, that we got from people was Taking Back Tuesday.
A very close second, yeah.
I think we're going with the Twos Cruise.
I like the Twos Cruise. We can go with the whole
Twos Cruise too.
We can go with the whole boat theme, right?
Yes.
We got all sorts of boat sounds. I'm Captain Ty. You can be first mate or
boom,
Captain Dan.
It.
I don't know how these things work, but let's go on this Twos Cruise together.
And again, you have banned me from dropping twos.
Yes, this is true.
Okay. All right. Just checking. All right. That's all I have. Oh, and my number two thing is listen to Sports Wars, also on Wondery.
There you go.
Also hosted by half of the Solid Verbal.
Yep.
And they're evergreen shows about sports rivalries, and they're really good once you've already listened to the Solid Verbal. Road trips, flights, chores. It's great.
Free content.
That's true.
All right. Well, for that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt, thank you for taking part in this week two journey with us. We will be back on Sunday afternoon to break it all down as only we can. Don't forget to give the Reverb line a call at 408-VERBAL-1. Let us know what's on your mind this coming Saturday as you're watching the football games. For that guy over there, again, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt, thank you for tuning into the show. Catch you all on Sunday. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.